Holder of the Keys by Gav Thorpe. Performed by Gareth Armstrong, Steve Conlin, and Toby Longworth.
I did what I had to do. I did what I had been trained to do. What I had been created to do. I killed them. I fought as hard as I could against my enemies. I focused my lethal attention on them to the exclusion of all other concerns until they were destroyed. They came at us in armor chipped and cracked by countless previous battles. Veterans of war, their anger and hatred honed to a razor's edge. The sky burned and the ground buckled beneath their rage as they tried to wipe us out. No price was too high to pay for our deaths. They wore our blood as a trophy. It glistened on their black armor and slicked their bared silver blades. With eyes of red, they gazed upon us and thought nothing of the slaughter. Heartless, merciless, deadly. They hungered for the kill, for our lives. Nothing would stop them. The thunder of their bombardment continued, and the fury of lasers and tracers lit the night sky as bright as day. Such a war tumult I have never known. Not even during the misguided wrath of the Great Crusade was a world so racked by such vigorous ire. Beyond the red and blue and green beams that crisscrossed the sky, the stars themselves paled beside the detonations of the continuing battle. The hulls of starships fell as comets. Fragments of armor descended in fiery hail, hissing and burning. Where they landed, the ancient forests around our cities blazed. None could be spared to quell the spreading flames. The arcologies were wreathed in the smoke, those within choked by the fumes. Hundreds of thousands suffocated, lungs seared by hot smog. There could be no evacuation. Outside was as lethal as within. Thousands more died in the panicked stampedes. We watched our homes reduced to ashes. Such were the blessings of terror in that anointed age. The Vox channels were a howl with the cries of the dying and the wounded. Even those of us hardened by centuries of battle could make no sense of the anarchy. Nobody was in command.
A face from nightmare loomed out of the darkness. It was a skull sheathed in flowing blood, sparks of golden fire for eyes. When it spoke, the sparks became intense flames, searing his soul. The voice echoed inside his head, coming from within.
How did you kill them? The attack. Remember the attack. I am the key to the prison of your guilt. Repent of your crimes, and know peace.
Memories fluttered to the surface, and he could not resist the urge to speak, to give voice as witness to the terrible events.
Amongst the plasma and torpedoes fell drop pods, filled with warriors thirsting for blood. The outer Brocks and Ravelins had been silenced, reduced to slag. The capital still stood proud and tall amongst the ruins of our lands. The Gorgon-forged Aegis Ward was still operational. As our foes' anger fell upon it, the sound was as of a myriad of roaring dragons. Two gunships, shadows against the darkness. They saw us, our thermic signatures stark to their artificial eyes. We sought shelter amongst the broken keeps and shattered curtain walls. The flare of their missiles cut the darkness. Nemethiel died then, torn in half by the strike. Galdarion lost a leg and we had to abandon it. He insisted and we had no choice but to comply. His bolter rang out in defiance until another missile struck. We sought shelter within an Orillon at the Bronze Gate. Once we had paraded on the training grounds east of that immense bastion. Now the open mustering field had become a cratered, plasma-scorched wasteland. The 5,000 banners that had lined the field had been toppled. The mighty stands where 30,000 cheering brothers had watched the jousts and duels were charred splinters and puddles of molten steel. It was a temporary respite. The gunships knocked, their battle cannon shells an insistent request for entry. The Bronze Gate was sterner yet than their attacks, with deep foundations and thick walls. In time, they disgorged their bloodthirsty cargo, who set to the tower portals with las cutters and melter charges. We welcomed them with las cannon and bolter. The crackle of Hereth's tempest lance illuminated our hunters with an azure flare before shattering the armor of the first through the breach. Such a storm was our defiance that the assault relented and the enemy withdrew. And then the horror was unleashed. As the gunships pounded our position with Phosphex shells. The deadly purple fire lapped at the gate tower and streamed through the breach. It was drawn to us, filled with a disturbing hate of its own. We fell back again, but it followed, spreading, pooling, searching for us, filling every room with a fire that gave off no smoke. If I had doubted it before, I did not doubt it then that our enemies were truly vile. They were possessed of no emotion at all, showed no compunction in the deployment of such hideous death. But for the grace of the universe, we would have died. A terrible death, agonizing, lingering as the hungry flames ate through our armor and devoured our flesh. Who could ever say we were not right to defend ourselves against such horror?
The face loomed larger, shifting, growing flesh over the bone. A monstrous wolf's head it became, snarling, breath as hot as the crawling Phosphex, its jaws dripping fire like saliva. Its golden eyes reflected the prisoner's bloodied, scarred face. Yet in that reflection he was twisted, eyes missing, flesh torn even more, weeping. It was not a mirror of what was, but a reflection of what was to come.
A lie. Justice was meted out. A fate you deserved. What happened before the gunships? What had you done to deserve such retribution? We will unlock the truth, you and I.
Nothing!
He became aware of a pain, a dull ache. It nagged at him like a rat gnawing at the base of his skull.
Do not avoid the question. Admit your crimes. Tell the truth and be set free.
The gnawing became more insistent. To distract himself, he stared at the apparition floating just in front of his face. The eyes of the wolf were growing larger, engulfing him, mesmerizing. The desire to confess was strong. The panting of the wolf revealed itself as his breaths, coming sharp from bloodied lips, vapor in the chill air. He shuddered.
They had chased us from orbit. There they had spat their hate upon us, spewing fighters from burning flight decks. Like a storm of swords, they fell upon our station. We manned the defense batteries, macro cannons and mass fusillade laser barrages. A wall of fire, a barrier of lightning and plasma and missiles to fend off the rage of a demigod. Somehow they made it through. Torpedo bombers targeted us, destroying the cannon galleries and upper platforms. Assault pods crashed into the lower decks. We stayed at the guns as long as possible. We had orders and followed them. Make the traitors pay. Slay them. Teach them that we would never again be slaves. We fired until the power cells melted. We fired until the barrels of the rotary cannons glowed. We fired even as bulkhead after bulkhead was breached and the foe swarmed towards us. When the enemy was at the door, we stopped firing and took up our bolt pistols and power swords for close work. Landevort had a Volkite carbine he had kept since the 231st expedition, took it from the dead hands of an ultramarine. For the battle to end all battles, he used to say when he polished it and gloated to the newer recruits. And that battle was upon us, we knew. We opened the doors and charged. Bolt pistols barked, swords hissed, and Landevort's carbine spat archaic fire. They had not been expecting a counterattack. Up we fought, up through seven decks of death and hell and the clamor of close battle. Six of us made it to the savior pods, and not before we had accounted for 20 of the foe. The station was lost. We knew it would be. Fight hard, withdraw quickly, form the line again. That was the strategy. We would keep back the rage of a whole empire as long as one of us lived to fight. Even as we sought to leave, a fresh onslaught fell upon us. Hadrius was the best of us, master of blades, and he leapt to our defense while others of the garrison departed in the savior pods. His chain sabers held the door for fully 3 minutes. There was a lull, and we called for him to come back. We would not desert him. But then we saw who led the foe, and knew that Hadrius had left it too late. Arch traitor. Once the noblest of us, who should have stood at our Lord's right hand. Caliban's glorious son, now lickspittle to the filth of terror. Paladin, Pureblade, Houndlord, Dread Corswain. In beast's mantle he approached, a greatsword in his grasp, its edge spilling white fire. Where such a sword came from, what debts he owed for its gifting, who would dare say? Hadrius knew better than to wait for the attack.
Oh, Caliban!
He threw himself at the Pureblade and his guard. Corswain was there in a moment. His sword rose and met Hadrius's descending blades. The ring of their clash echoed back to us, and we knew that Hadrius had swung his last strike. Corswain moved in a way I have never seen any warrior move. Even encumbered by his armor, he was past Hadrius in an instant. His sword parted our companion from gut to nape in one blow. It was always part of the plan to leave the station, but I admit freely that we saw Corswain look upon us in that moment and we fled, for to remain was to die.
Your cowardice needs no confirmation. We have a list of those that held true and those that fell. Your treachery is all the proof we need of your low moral courage.
He found himself in those dark forests on Caliban that he had called home, darker even than he remembered. The trees crowded close together, leaving nothing but slanted shadows and moonlight. Hot breath steamed in the still. Eyes of golden fire gleamed in the night. He started to run. The panting grew louder, and his heart hammered with effort. He could feel hot breath at his back. He blurted a confession, hoping it would allay the pursuing beast.
It was dishonorable to destroy the station. Scorched earth, that was the command. Leave no pursuing foe. The reactor was set to overload from the moment the battle started. It was not an honorable blow, but we were desperate.
The wolf's growl was so close, right behind him. He made the mistake of looking back. No wolf now. The apparition had become a monster outright. Its flesh was scaled, body sinuous, claws and fangs burning with golden flame. A beast of Caliban lost, like he used to hunt as a knight of the order. The monster's roar was inside his head, a pain that threatened to split his skull apart.
Lies! You are damned if you do not confess all! Not the victim, the brave defender, murderer, cold-blooded slayer of brothers. Admit your sins and be free.
The monster sunk its talons into him, and the pain released a memory torn from the depths of his mind.
Starfire, the word echoes in your thoughts. You hope that you will never hear it. A single word, dripping with so much meaning. But for all your regrets, you do not hesitate. That one word sets you into action. Lured close by your fake protestations of surrender, a strike cruiser approaches your station. The others look to you, their leader. Even now, with so much at stake, you have a chance. Obey the order or stand down. They trust you. Starfire! You choose to listen to the lies of your lord, rather than the oaths you have sworn to the lion.
Open fire,
you tell them.
Full barrage. Let these falling oafs know that Caliban will die free.
And the cannons open fire, and the shields of the strike cruiser burst into red blossoms. Blasts from other platforms overload the shield generators, and the target starts to turn away. But you are not satisfied with driving them off. There will be no mercy. The bombardment continues. The strike cruiser cracks, its armor pierced. The welter of hammer blows upon it from laser and shell. Too much to bear. No relent, you cry. What a perversion of that great motto of our gene father.
No relent!
And your brothers die in their hundreds by your treacherous hand.
The pain was all-consuming. He was engulfed by it. He could stand no more and realized that the shriek of the splintering warship was the scream from his lips. A robed figure looked at him, one eye glittering with gold, the other a biomechanical replacement. It was his last vision as sanity faded and skull-faced armored giants entered to drag him away.